Podcast.
Hey, I'll call you soul! I'll call you soul! I'll call you soul!
Grandpa is the best killer there ever was.
What's up, bitches? Welcome to the Horrorcore Podcast, Episode 4. This is Bart, back again to host this shit. Alright, today we're going to get into the Silent Night, Deadly Night trilogy. I'm not going to cover 4 and 5, because 4 and 5 are standalone films. They have nothing to do with the original 3. So in my book, they don't really count as Silent Night, Deadly Night movies. We're going to get into that a little bit later. We also have an interview that I did with a couple of budding filmmakers just outside of Toronto. Their names are Zach Green and Richard Powell. Zach is the producer and editor of a couple movies, Consumption and Worm. And Richard is the writer-director and also editor of those movies. And they're actually about to start working on a movie called Familiar. And they also own Fatal Pictures. So we will get into that interview a little bit later. Once again, you can send emails to me at horrorcorebart@yahoo.com. HORRORBART at yahoo.com. Also on Facebook as horrorcorebart. Look me up and friend me. Want to say thanks to all my new Facebook friends. Hopefully you'll be listening to this episode. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. You can also call and leave me voicemails. That number is 269-823-9037. Call, give me some suggestions. Still up in the air on what I'm going to cover next episode, so if you want to call or email me, give me some suggestions. That's always a possibility. The Horrorcore Podcast can also be found on iTunes now. Just get on iTunes and look up Horrorcore Podcast, and then, you know, if you're familiar with iTunes, you can subscribe, and every episode that gets posted will be automatically downloaded. You won't have to go to the Podomatic anymore. This episode is also going to feature music from the band Dog Fashion Disco. They're a favorite of mine. They're out of Baltimore, Maryland. They're a weird mix. You listen to them, and at times you can compare them to System of a Down. Other times you hear Tool influence there. The lead singer definitely draws a lot of influence from Mike Patton, who we covered last episode. They're a really good band. Unfortunately, they're not together any longer, but their last real studio album was called Adultery, which was very good. One of my all-time favorite albums. So we'll get into some of their music in this episode. And I believe that's going to cover it for the intro. Let's get on to some news.
Thank you.
All right, before we get into the news, I want to share an email that I received from Roger in Sandusky, Ohio. Roger writes, "Hey Bart, just want to say hi. I love the show. I find your views to be refreshing as opposed to the other podcasts I listen to. I'd love to hear your take on the Cubes movies. Thanks and keep up the good work, Roger." Well, thank you very much, Roger. Always appreciate any kind of feedback. And yes, I will definitely take the Cube movies into consideration. If I don't get to them next episode, definitely the episode after that, as I have not yet been able to see the Cube movies. So I definitely look forward to getting into those. It's really hard to say what I'm going to get into next. I might actually take a two-week hiatus. I've had to force myself to watch the three movies I'm going to review tonight for the simple fact that the latter two are absolutely horrible. And I've kind of gotten on this whole S.H.I.E.L.D. kick. I used to watch The S.H.I.E.L.D. back when it was on FX, and I watched everything except the final season. I don't really remember what was going on in my life the time the final season aired, but I wasn't able to watch that final season. So the past couple days, I started watching from episode one, and when I get on a kick like this, I just go nonstop, episode after episode after episode. You know, I'll be up all goddamn night. I haven't gotten shit for sleep lately. Got big-ass bags under my eyes, but kind of OCD in a way when it comes to that. I just want to keep watching. I want to get to that final season where everything is brand new to me. So I might have to spend the next week doing that, and then the following week decide what I'm going to watch and actually kind of focus on that. So, but friend me on Facebook. That way you can keep updated on what I'm doing and what movies I'm going to review. So let's get on to some news. Reading online how Halloween 3D is being held up because of Scream 4. Apparently, with this whole slasher influx that we've had, the new wave of slasher flicks, the producers, the Weinsteins, want to see how Scream 4 does before they get into production on Halloween 3D. And, you know, they also, I guess the Weinsteins are talking about redoing Hellraiser, so they want to see how Scream 4 does, and they might actually go ahead with Hellraiser before they do Halloween 3D, which, I, you know, it's really, really starting to annoy me, all these fucking remakes, man. Hollywood is trying to ruin my childhood. I grew up, I didn't have cable growing up. We didn't have cable in our area, and it was before the whole satellite dish. Back then, you had to get the satellite dish. It was like as big as your fucking house. So I grew up with just local TV and the video store. So horror movies and Saturday morning cartoons were huge in my development growing up. Maybe that explains why I'm so twisted mentally. A little mix of G.I. Joe and Texas Chainsaw Massacre might screw a kid's head up. But, you know, and now Hollywood is trying to remake all my favorite horror movies growing up. Halloween, the fucking Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th. And then they start fucking up my cartoons that I love so much. You know, G.I. Joe, they fucked that movie up. That was god-awful and fucking boring. And now they redid Yogi, or they made a movie out of Yogi Bear, Alvin and the fucking Chipmunks, Garfield. Now they got this Smurfs movie coming out. I don't know what the fuck they're trying to do to me. They're just wrecking my fucking childhood. Now they're talking about redoing Hellraiser? It doesn't make sense to me, man. It doesn't make sense. Apparently, these guys, Patrick Lussier is going to be directing it. It's the same guy that directed Drive Angry, which looks fucking atrocious. My Bloody Valentine, which wasn't that good at all. The Dracula 2000 series, apparently he wrote those, that trilogy, which I watched Dracula 2000, and it was fucking dick-ass boring. So they're going to fuck Hellraiser up now. And it does, I mean, the Weinsteins, what the fuck, man, I want to choke them. They've been putting out shitty-ass fucking movies, and now they're going to start fucking all my favorites up. But apparently, this Hellraiser reboot is going to focus more on the world of the box. And from what I was reading, the Weinsteins were looking to make a more teen-oriented film, which basically says they're going to fucking destroy it. It just pisses me off, man. But anyways, apparently the Halloween 3D script is going to be more like John Carpenter's original Halloween, but we'll see about that. They'll find a way to make it bad. They always do. Watch a trailer online called Little Death. Actually looks pretty good, so I don't know if you want to get on YouTube and check that out. Apparently the next Paranormal Activity movie is going to be called Paranormal Activity 2 Tokyo Night. Somehow someone that visited the fucking house is going to, the spirit's going to follow that person back to Tokyo. They're dragging it on too long now. It's really starting to get ridiculous. That might do it for news. Yeah, that's basically going to cover it for news. I want to talk about a couple movies, a couple things I've been watching. Watch the movie Severance, which was, I mean, it wasn't bad. I forget which podcast I was listening to that brought it up. I remember I had seen the commercial for a long time ago, but never got a chance to watch it, and it looked interesting. So I finally got to check it out. Wasn't that bad. Wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be or hoped it would be, but it's a good watch. I mean, it's not a waste of time, that's for sure. So you might want to check that out. I watched a movie called Dear Mr. Gacy, which was fucking awesome, man. I forget the person's name. John Gross, maybe. It's a true story. It's based on his book. He basically struck up a correspondence with John Wayne Gacy and a couple other serial killers, but he got closest to Gacy. Basically, you know, turns into the person that Gacy looked for in his victims, and Gacy gets in his head, and it's a really, really good movie. I wouldn't say it was a horror movie. It's more of a thriller, but it's really fucking good. And the Indian man, I didn't know anything about it when I watched it. I didn't know about the novel. I didn't know about the kid that did this. So the Indian really kind of left me like, wow. So definitely check that out. I recommend that. And I also watch a little a British miniseries called Dead Set. It's a zombie miniseries. Really fucking good. I think I've said before that the zombie subgenre is my favorite of horror. And this is a really good miniseries. It's a 5-part miniseries. It's about 2.5 hours if you sit there and watch the whole thing straight through. And it's basically takes the premise of Big Brother set. And outside of the Big Brother set, the zombie apocalypse breaks out. And these are my favorite kind of zombies, the running zombies that are actually scary. And, you know, they run with it. So I definitely suggest you check that out. Not sure if it's available on DVD in the United States yet. I don't really deal with DVDs. I deal with that. Something else, we're not going to get into that. But you can look online. I'm sure it's available somewhere because I found it. So go ahead and check that out. And that about does it for the news and for the shit I've been watching lately. So why don't we go ahead and get on into this interview?
Mentally leaving is your man. Valley girl that you're looking.
All right, I have on the line with me today Zach Green and Richard Powell. They are owners of Fatal Pictures. Zach is a producer and editor, and Richard Powell is a writer-director. So far, in 2008, they have the movie Consumption, and right now making the rounds on the festival circuit is Worm. Why don't you say hello, Zach?
Hi, this is Zach Green, producer of the movies, producer of Fatal Pictures, and my partner here, Richard Powell.
Hey, everybody. I'm the writer and director of Consumption and Worm. Good to be talking to you.
Great. Thank you for joining me today, guys.
No problem.
All right. Now, why don't we start off with where are you guys from?
We are from Toronto, Canada. We both went to film school here in Toronto. We met at film school in 2003, and I ended up editing a short film for Richard, and we ended up just in the editing room, just got talking, and we just both wanted all the same things in the industry and built a great working rapport, and in 2007, we started Fatal Pictures, our production company.
Great. And how old are you guys?
I am 27, and Richard is 28.
Awesome. Awesome. And then, so you guys have been...
We've known each other since about, 2003, and we've been working together ever since.
Great. So you started making your own movies. Now, did you start Consumption in 2007?
We started writing, and, well, Richard started writing. We shot ideas around. Consumption's based on a true story that took place in Germany about a cannibal.
Oh.
We started working together on that in 2007, and we sat down with an entertainment lawyer and formed our production company, got it incorporated, etc. in 2007, and we shot Consumption in 2007, and we later on went to release it in 2008, and it had distribution in Canada, and it got picked up by Moviola. So Moviola in Canada, the TV channel, digital station Moviola, has the rights to play Consumption, I believe, for the next 2 or 3 years.
Okay. Now, is Consumption, would that be easy for people to find in video stores, or is that just exclusively up there in Canada?
Unfortunately, it's a short film, so short films don't really get distribution in Blockbuster and Rogers and whatnot. But if you'd like to see Consumption, if anyone wants to see Consumption, I'm sure I could get you a link to it. The whole movie is online, as well as there's clips and trailers circulating on YouTube, on Vimeo. But if you'd like to see the whole movie, you can definitely get in touch with me and Richard, and we can definitely tell you how to do so.
Okay, and how would people get in touch with you?
And you can definitely get in touch with me and Richard through fatalpictures.com, or you can either email either one of us. We're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're everywhere, so I mean, it shouldn't be too difficult to get a hold of us directly. It really isn't. But for a great way, if you're not on Facebook or anything, directly on fatalpictures.com, there's a contact form. You can contact us.
Okay. Now, Worm, that you guys just finished that up, then, or?
Yeah, here I'll let Richard talk a little bit about Worm.
Okay.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Richard, how are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad, actually.
Okay, well, we're talking about Worm right now. Now, how long ago did you guys finish shooting that?
Well, the film was completed in the summer of 2009. We filmed it, and we were done post-production by, I would say, September, October. And we started releasing the film early 2010. So 2010 has really been the year that we've been pushing that film. And, you know, we've gotten it out there to a lot of festivals, a lot of reviewers, you know, trying to do as much awareness on the film as possible. So it was done in 2009, and we've been pushing it since, you know, early 2010.
Okay. So you've directed both these movies?
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, who would you draw upon as like, an influence of yours?
I guess some of the filmmakers that I really like a lot are guys like Werner Herzog, Roman Polanski, and then some other smaller ones like Todd Solondz, Gaspar Noé, Michael Haneke. You know, I prefer a lot of the out-of-the-spotlight guys, the more eccentric, independent-minded filmmakers, guys that care more about telling a story than making money most of the time. So, you know, stuff like that is what I'm drawn to.
Sure, definitely. Now, did you do the score for the movies too?
Oh, no. For both of those films, we went to a really great guy named Bernie Greenspoon. He's a great composer, you know, from Toronto, and we contacted him basically saying, you know, we shot these, you know, with consumption, we shot this 30-minute horror film, and, you know, we really need somebody to accentuate it and bring out the story and just enhance the emotions, and Bernie was the guy, you know, he added a lot of great production value to that film with his score, and he brought a lot of quality to Worm as well, so we handle a lot of the creative things in regards to production, but we also know the value of going to talented cast and crew members to really complement our talents. Filmmaking is a collaborative thing, so we realize how important it is to work with, you know, talented individuals like Bernie.
Sure, definitely. Now, as far as actors, did you, you know, just get a lot of hold of a lot of friends, or did you have open casting, or how did that work for you?
Casting with us kind of started, you know, the way a lot of independent filmmakers started. You know, the first couple of film school projects are friends, family. And, I mean, if you're smart, you learn pretty soon that that's not the best way to go about casting your films. You realize, just like you need to get a professional camera guy, a professional sound guy, you need professional actors. So with consumption, we went online and started looking for people whose work we could look at, people who were willing to come out and audition and read for us, people who had been tried and true in other productions. And we found two great actors, Bruno Talata and Andrea Nettleton. We met up with them, had conversations about what we were trying to do, and it worked out great. So that was the process for consumption. For Worm, what we did was we actually started asking actors that we knew and trusted if they knew anybody that they thought would be right for the roles we looked to fill. And that's how we came across Robert Nolan. And, I mean, he's been the best thing to ever happen to our production company, I would say, other than me and Zach meeting, obviously.
Right.
He's you know, the actor's actor. He's all about preparation and craft, and he cares just as much as we do about the final product, and that makes all the difference in the world. It's not just a job to him. It's his baby too, so.
Right. Okay, well, for those out there that don't know, what is the synopsis, the plot of the movie Worm?
Basically, Worm follows a high school teacher named Jeffrey Dodd through the course of what appears to be a typical school day, but on this given day, the audience is allowed to listen in on Jeffrey's thoughts, and these thoughts begin as sort of sarcastic and smug observations of his coworkers and students. But as the film progresses, these thoughts go from being sarcastic and bitingly funny to kind of very malicious and savage, all the way until a boiling point, which I don't want to reveal, but this film is essentially a character study about somebody who externally is something very different than he is internally. The film's about, you know, getting into the mind of somebody who on the outside is there to help. That's his job. He's there to nurture and help. But internally, he's a very disturbed and dangerous character. And that's basically what Worm is about.
Wow, that sounds real interesting there. Definitely. So now Zach said that you guys are in the middle of working on your next film, which is, what was the name of the next film?
It's entitled Familiar. It's kind of a play on words. There's two meanings for, you know, there's two different definitions of familiar.
Mm-hmm.
In the dictionary. One of them is obviously the familiar, the monotonous, the something that you go through so many times that it becomes routine. But there's also another term familiar, which refers to kind of superstitious demonic witchcraft origins, which is a familiar is something that's a demonic force that's sent to aid a person. So the film kind of plays with both of those definitions in an interesting way. And we're actually going to film that this coming March, March 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, here in Brampton, Ontario. And yeah, we're actually going to be working with Robert Nolan again, who is the star of Worm. He's going to be reprising a very similar role, not the same as Worm, but rather than the character he played in Worm, Jeffrey Dodd, he's going to be playing Jeffrey Dodd's twin brother, John.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, this film is sort of a sister film to Worm, but it's going to be going in, I think, darker and more bloody territory. But it's a flip side of the same coin as Worm, and I'm just excited to be exploring similar themes, but in a different way, so.
Great. All right. Well, is there anything else that you'd like to go ahead and talk about, or
We'll just touch base on since Worm came out, we've obviously been very very excited about the feedback we've given, the encouragement. A lot of people really respond to this film. Critically, it's done very well, which I'm very happy to see that, because when you write something, you don't anticipate a reaction. You just write something that you want to get out there, and people have been responding to it. So, based on that, I've been working on a Worm feature-length screenplay, and that's definitely something that Zach and me are interested in pursuing after we get this next short film premiere out of the way, is, get our feature debut out there and let the rest of the world who doesn't maybe pay attention to shorts know who we are. So other than that, other than the familiar, yeah, the Worm feature is something we're working on. Here, I'll let Zach answer that question as well, if there's anything he wants to speak about.
Great, thank you.
Hey, I'm back.
All right. So it's, just winding things up, wanting to know if there's anything else that you wanted to cover or discuss?
Sure. Well, I'll leave off. I'll pick up where Richard left off. Worms played at about 12 international genre film festivals thus far. We're waiting back to hear if we got in about 7 or 8 more. We're waiting to hear. A lot
festivals
of genre festivals, coming up near the summer. So we're waiting to hear back from a lot of those. Very excited to go to camera on Familiar. We are working with an incredible cinematographer by the name of Michael Yari Davidson. Great cinematographer. Really excited to go to camera with him. We got an amazing, tremendous crew. We think we're really going to put together another very, very great critically acclaimed film here. We're shooting on Red Digital Cinema. Worm was actually shot on 16mm film, so now we're going to try out the Red.
Okay.
I've heard nothing but good things about it. So we're really excited to go to camera and shoot Red. And look out for Familiar at film festivals near you. And you can still check out Worm. Worm's still going strong. You can check out all the wonderful reviews both Consumption and Worm have on IMDb. You can go check out all the great reviews from critics. You can check out all the stats from the movies, where they played, all the good stuff they've done. We're going to be hopefully doing the Worm feature in the next couple of years. So definitely look out for that. That'll be, hopefully, we'll have a theatrical release. Hopefully. It'll be in Blockbuster and Netflix and everything else.
Sure.
We get distribution for it.
Definitely. It's I want to thank you guys for what you're doing. We don't have enough horror movie makers out there that are definitely passionate about the genre. And it sounds to me like you guys are passionate about it. Like,
yeah. We know there's not a lot of original creative horror films coming out right now in Hollywood or anywhere.
Right.
They're all remakes. They're all remake bullshit of movies
exactly.
That already have demographics. So Hollywood's just like, how can we make money? So they just put together, a remake. And I appreciate that. But, we need some original horror content. And I feel strongly that me and Richard can deliver that.
Well, I really hope you guys can, and I definitely look forward to seeing more out of you guys. And
I wish I was American, I wish I was a dual citizen, so I could jump over to the States and, start hammering away over there, but unfortunately I'm down in Canada.
In due time.
Yeah. I say unfortunately just because of the demographic. I know Canada's a wonderful place to be, but it's a little too cold for me.
Well, there's a lot of... there's a lot of horror fans up there in Canada.
Yeah, quite in the last couple of years, through Facebook and all these wonderful mediums, I'm definitely seeing a lot of talented, amazing filmmakers from Canada that I didn't know were in our country. I know there's a lot of amazing filmmakers out in Vancouver out west. There's a lot of good filmmakers here in Canada that I'm excited for them. I hope I can meet, me and Richard can meet them one day, as well as, I hope we can make movies and everyone sees them out there and they're not just in Canada.
Now,
opportunity, I will definitely shoot you a copy of Worm so you can review that and maybe we'll, have to come back on and discuss it.
I appreciate that.
That would be awesome.
Definitely cover that in an upcoming podcast. Now, once again, for people to get a hold of you that aren't on Facebook, it's fatalfeatures.com?
That is, yeah, you can look us, me and Richard, up at fatalpictures.com. We just started a blog for up-to-date information because our .com isn't getting updated as much as we'd like it to be. So we decided to start a blog, fatalpictures.blogspot.com, for all the great up-to-date, up-to-day-to-day, week-to-week information on what's going on, reviews coming out, what we're doing, all the good stuff. You could also find us on YouTube/Fatal Pictures, Twitter/Fatal Pictures, Vimeo, really anywhere. Facebook, join the fan pages. Please help us support independent movies.
All right. Well, thanks again for your time, Zach. And
thank you. Thank you very much. And I know Richard appreciates it a lot, too. Thank you.
All right. That concludes the interview with Zach Green and Richard Powell. You can find them on Twitter at Twitter/Fatal. You can also find them at FatalPictures.com, and they also have a blog at FatalPictures.blogspot.com. They also have some clips on YouTube, YouTube/FatalPictures. I know Zach is also on Facebook. That's where I, ran into him. Zach Green at Facebook. So definitely check out their movies, Consumption, Worm, and the upcoming movie Familiar. So hope you enjoyed that. So now let's get into the Silent Night, Deadly Night trilogy.
Call me your blood devil's sweet rapist eyes, as all the Bruce babies of lullabies. Burnt at the stake, old souls fill the skies. Sacrifice for all humanity's lies. I summoned a demon and took it to bed. I don't recall exactly what was said. It tied my hands and my feet to the bed. I don't recall exactly what was said.
Coming up next at the movies, a film that dreams about a red Christmas.
'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring. All through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
Our X-ray subject this week, the controversial Santa Claus killer movie, Silent Night, Deadly Night. Actually, there have been two controversies about Silent Night, Deadly Night. Even before the film was released a couple of weeks ago, its TV ad campaign caused a furor with its brief depiction of an axe-carrying Santa Claus. The distributor of this film, TriStar Pictures, which is co-owned by Columbia Pictures, CBS, and Home Box Office, pulled the commercial out of release after a week of protests by parents led by a Milwaukee group. Of course, commercials like that usually die out after a week anyway, so thanks a lot, fellas. But there's no question in my mind that the showing of Santa with an axe on free TV in commercials is sick, and sleazy, and mean-spirited. So let's repeat the names of the people who did it. TriStar Pictures, co-owned by Columbia Pictures, CBS, and Home Box Office. Shame on you. Now, as for the film, I've got news for you. It's worse than the TV ads. Telling a typical mad slasher story about a boy who witnesses his father being shot and his mother being stabbed to death by a maniac in a Santa Claus suit. So now, the traumatized kid
grows up and is asked to work in a toy store as Santa one Christmas, and it freaks him out. He impales one naked girl on a set of antlers, spears another woman with a bow and arrow, and another with a knife, and yes, we even see Santa give one little girl a bloody knife as a gift and threaten another little girl with physical punishment as he sits on his lap. You might think that it would be funny, Roger, or Perry. It's played as quite thick in the film. So let me repeat the names of the writer and director and producers of this film. Michael Hickey wrote the film, Charles E. Sellier Jr. directed it, and Ira Richard Barmack produced it. You people have nothing to be proud of, even if you made a few bucks off of all the negative publicity. Your profits truly are blood money. And Silent Night, Deadly Night now has the distinction of joining I Spit on Your Grave as one of the two most contemptible films I've seen. And I don't mean to think it's campy. It really is quite awful.
I'm glad you mentioned those people's names, because quite frequently they think, gee, we'll make this exploitation film, we'll be able to buy our Mercedes and live in Bel Air, and nobody will ever know what we did. But I would like to hear them explain to their children and their grandchildren that it's only a movie.
Yeah.
I think that would be a real interesting explanation. Now,
Silent Night, Deadly Night came out in 1984. It was directed by Charles Sellier, something to that effect. It stars Lillian Chavin, Gilmer McCormick, and Tony Nero. This movie cost $1 million to make, and it brought in $2.5 million, which wasn't bad for its time, and seeing how it had little to no theater run. This movie's about a kid that goes to visit his grandpa on Christmas Eve with his mother and father and his baby brother. Grandpa scares him, tells him that if he was naughty, Santa's going to get him. After they leave and they're on their way home, there's a guy dressed in a Santa outfit, broke down on the side of the road. They stop to ask if he needs help. He shoots the dad. Wrecks the car after he's shot. The kid, Billy, runs off into the ditch and watches while the Santa Claus rips his mom's shirt open, smacks her, cuts her throat, tells Billy that he's going to get him. So Billy and his kid, his baby brother, get put in an orphanage ran by Mother Superior, who is an absolute fucking bitch. If you've ever seen one on film, But anyways, he's kind of fucked in the head. He grows up in the orphanage, turns 18, gets a job working at a toy store. They have him dress as Santa, which starts triggering shit in his head. And then they're having their Christmas Eve party, and he witnesses one of his coworkers kind of sexually assault another coworker, male to female, smacks her, rips her shirt open, triggers these flashbacks in his head, so he goes and kills the guy. For some reason, the girl freaks out on him, slaps him, kills her, the boss comes back there, he kills him, kills another coworker, and from there he just goes on a murderous rampage. Kills all kinds of people, working his way back to the orphanage to get to Mother Superior. He gets there, doesn't get a chance to kill her, gets shot, falls down, dies at his brother's feet, and I believe the ending shot is of his kid brother looking at Mother Superior saying naughty, which, sets up the sequel. But this movie, I love this movie, man. This is a very nostalgic movie for me. This was one of my favorites as a kid. I mean, you can't forget the cover art of Santa's arm hanging out of the chimney while he's going down the chimney, just his arms hanging out, holding the axe. It's fucking awesome, man. This movie got all kinds of shit when it came out. You heard the clip from Siskel and Ebert talking about this before I started the review. Just Siskel and Ebert bashed the shit out of this. Leonard Maltin bashed the shit out of this, too. It was protested. People just lost their fucking minds when this came out. Even though a couple years prior to this, there was the movie Christmas Evil, where a guy dressed as Santa is killing people. Which, by the way, Fear Shot Mike was the lesser of the two. Silent Night, Deadly Night, a far superior movie to Christmas Evil. Anyways, getting on with it. Yeah, it was pulled from theaters after maybe 1 or 2 weeks. It was just unbelievable the shit it got. But it kind of helped it. I mean, definitely got people's attention. You know, people that would have never noticed a movie like this all of a sudden knew about it because of all the protests, all the upheaval that was coming on the news and whatnot. So it kind of helped it, kind of hurt it. If it would have had a longer run in theaters, I'm sure it would have made more money. But it became an instant, you know, cult classic, I think. I love this movie. And, you know, honestly, it's movies like this that should be remade the right way. Movies that had a very low budget that, you know, was definitely an 80s slasher and suffered from, you know, being an 80s slasher. If you were to have a good budget for this, good actors, good director, and, you know, who knows what you could do with this movie. But you need to put it in the right hands. Because I believe the director didn't really do much after this. Yeah, the big thing, you know, when he would kill people, punish or naughty was his, you know, catchphrase. I definitely, you know, I recommend this movie. I love this movie. Like I said, it's very nostalgic for me. I grew up with it. One of my favorites. Me and my friends would talk about this movie endlessly. So IMDb gave it a rating of a 5.6, unfortunately. Rotten Tomatoes only gave it a 30% on the tomato meter, which is kind of insulting if you ask me. They obviously don't know what they're talking about. I personally gave it a 6 out of 10. If it had better acting, definitely would have gotten a higher grade for me. But, you know, nonetheless, it's a great 80s movie. So, 6 out of 10. Suggest you check it out. On to Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2.
Shocked the nation by breaking all the rules. It's Silent Night, Deadly Night, Part 2. Clint is back, and he's mighty miffed at the naughty nun who drove his demented brother on a murderous rampage that made headlines across the country. Now, step by step, weapon by weapon, victim by victim, Santa's gonna finish what his brother started. So you better watch out. You better not pout, because Santa Claus is coming to your town. And he knows who's been naughty and who's been nice. Hold on tight for the sequel that'll chill you through your very soul. Silent Night, Deadly Night, Part 2.
Silent Night, Deadly Night, Part 2 came out in 1987. This movie is directed by Lee Harry. It stars Eric Freeman, James Newman, and Elizabeth Catan. The budget was $250,000. Unfortunately, this movie only made $154,000. That is a fucking bomb if I've ever heard one or seen one. This movie picks up with the kid brother being locked up and being interviewed by a psychiatrist. For the first half of the movie, it's basically all flashbacks to the original. If you've never seen the original, you can basically get the entire plot, or you basically watch the first movie in the first half of the second movie. I don't know if they just needed that for filler. I think they were just trying to cash in on the first one, which apparently they couldn't. They lost money. But like I said, first half of the movie is him locked up being interviewed by a psychiatrist. He eventually kills a psychiatrist, gets out, and goes on a killing spree until he is shot down himself. He goes on a killing spree making his way to Mother Superior's house, and kills her. Then he gets shot down. Alright, where to start? This movie's fucking horrible. Absolutely horrible. The lead actor is one of the worst actors I've ever seen. And I didn't know it until I started doing some more research, but apparently this movie has garnered a lot of attention virally. Mainly for his execution of the sentence, "It's garbage day," or something to that effect. He's such a bad actor. It's funny how bad he is. You know, the movie is horrible. The lead actor is horrible. The score is bad. The cinematography is horrible. There's lots of close-ups on his face. But he's a bad actor, so it just emphasizes how bad he is. He's got this crazy eyebrow thing going on. Every time he talks, his eyebrows go up and down and all crazy. The black dude's kind of funny. The like guard, the way he gets mad and gives him this look. There's apparently the lead actor Eric Freeman has gone missing. No one seems to be able to track him down. Like I said, he's got garnered quite a following online for his bad acting ability, and people keep trying to find him to interview him or talk to him. No one can seem to find him. The acting all the way around is bad in this movie. There's the scene where they're in the movie theater and the girl's ex-boyfriend's there. Chip, I believe, is his name. Him and his friend are bad actors. The girl's a bad actor. But Chip did throw something out that was, I'm a big Office fan. And he had a great line in there where he said, "That's what she said." Automatically made me think of the fucking Office. That's one of my favorite shows. Is this movie... Let me throw out a question to people that are listening that have seen this movie. Is this movie so bad that it's good? You know, kind of like Troll 2 has this huge cult following because it's such a horrible movie. I honestly think this would fall into that realm. It's so fucking bad that it's funny that you actually want to watch it again just to laugh at how bad the acting is and the movie in general is. The second half of the movie, after they get past the flashbacks of the first one, it just completely goes off the rails. Just the kills are bad, the acting's bad, the storyline is unbelievable, it's bad. There's a car that wrecks and just explodes for no fucking reason. The infamous garbage day scene where he's just walking and shooting random people, just the guy that got shot. I mean, just in all, this is a horrible fucking movie. I was actually laughing while I was watching it. It was so bad. But he finally makes it to Mother Superior's house, and her address is 666. I highly doubt a nun. I mean, I get what they were trying to do there, but just the believability of it. Maybe they tried to make a bad movie. Maybe that's what they intended on doing, was seeing how bad of a movie they could make. Because that's the only thing that fucking makes sense to me. Her apartment number is 666. No nun's going to have an address of 666. But anyways, he kills her. He chops her head off. And then the other nun and cops show up, and Mother Superior's sitting there looking at him. And there's no blood on her at all. So when her head falls off, it's supposed to be shocking. But if you behead somebody, man, there's going to be fucking blood everywhere. It just... This movie is unbelievably bad. IMDb gave it a rating of 3, which I think is high. Really, way too high. Rotten Tomatoes did not have a rating for it. I personally gave it a 1 out of 10. If you're into watching horribly made movies, then this would be a good movie for you. But if you're not into wasting your time on just a piece of shit movie, avoid this one at all cost. Alright, unfortunately now we have to get into Silent Night, Deadly Night 3.
Pogo happy clown molester, paints his face disguised the jester. Join the local most large chapter, spawning evil ever after. He picks his prey up at the bar, gets him drunken in the car, drives him home and down the stairs, strips him to his underwears. Pogo, you're gonna put it down. Victims, slice and spire, serial killer, pedophile. Look into those empty eyes, you know it's your time to die. He cuts you up in little bits, cuts you up in little bits, goes pop pop on your head again. Spills your blood, now he's soaked in sin. Fuck up, you're gonna burn in hell.
We have Silent Night, Deadly Night 3. This movie came out in 1989. It was directed by Monty Hellman. It stars Richard Boehmer, Bill Moseley, and Samantha Scully. Could not find any money numbers on this movie. This movie picks up with Ricky in the hospital. His life has been saved. Apparently the doctors reconstructed his brain and covered it with a glass bowl. There's a clairvoyant, a blind clairvoyant, that talks to Ricky. Communicates with Ricky. Doesn't really talk to Ricky, but she can see what he's dreaming, and they kind of have this mental connection. Well, she leaves to go to her grandmother's for Christmas Eve, and apparently this drunk guy that works at the hospital is dressed as Santa, goes in and taunts Ricky. Ricky awakens and goes on a killing spree. He kills everyone that gets in his way, on his way to the clairvoyant's grandmother's house to meet her there. Somebody on Facebook posed a question a couple weeks back. Asked if Bill Moseley ever did any bad movies. Essentially, is there a bad Bill Moseley movie? And this would be it. This movie is absolutely fucking awful, and it's not like Part 2 where it's so bad it's funny. This movie is just fucking horrible. There's bad acting all the way around. The blind girl doesn't appear to be blind. Bill Moseley, his performance, I mean, it's hard to judge because he doesn't talk to the whole fucking movie till the absolute end, which is fucking absurd. I don't know where to begin. Apparently this blind girl knows how to apply makeup because she's in full makeup, lipstick makeup and whatnot. The brother is straight out of the fucking 80s. The long curly hair looks ridiculous. She's not convincing as a blind girl. There's more flashbacks in this movie. The score is fucking bad. The acting is bad. Everybody in it. I mean, it's fucking offensive. It offended me and angered me how bad the acting was in this fucking movie. oh man, it's shit like this. I can't torture myself any longer. I cannot force myself to watch these fucking god awful movies. when Ricky, played by Bill Moseley, leaves the hospital, he hitchhikes. He stumbles around. He can barely walk. He can't talk, but he hitchhikes. And some Mexican dude pulls over to pick him up, doesn't notice that he's wearing a fucking hospital gown and that he has a big glass bowl that exposes his fucking brain. It's ridiculous. Yeah, and like I said, he can barely walk, he can't talk, but he can drive, because he kills the Mexican and drives off in his car. And most of the kills in this movie aren't even fucking shown. They don't show the kills. They just, you hear someone screaming, or you see the body laying on the side of the fucking road. So there's no gore in this movie. It's so slow, it's so fucking boring. Like I said, the acting is bad. Apparently, this movie... it's supposed to take place 6 years after the second one, but it only came out 2 years after. This movie's all over the place, man, and it's causing me to be all over the place in this fucking review. I want to punch stuff now. I want to punch holes in my wall and kick in my doors. I'm angry for making myself sit through this movie, and then have to fucking talk about it. Oh man, the ending is ridiculous. The ending killing, where he kills a brother, where he busts through the door to grab the girlfriend, it's just fucking ridiculous. And then just as it fades away, Bill Moseley, you see him and he says to all a good night. It's just, please, I beg you, don't watch this movie. I don't want people to get angry and beat up their girlfriends or something. Just please avoid this movie, by all means. Rotten Tomatoes doesn't give a rating on this movie. IMDb gives it a 3.2, which, I mean, IMDb gives shit ratings, but do they ever give anything under a 3? Because to give this a 3.2, it actually would qualify this as a movie. This isn't a fucking movie. This is a complete waste of time. This is shit smeared on fucking film. I give this movie a 0. A fucking 0. This might be the worst movie I've ever watched in my life. Please stay away from it.
I'm digging you a desert grave underneath the burning sun. I'm digging you a desert grave. You won't be found by anyone. Burying the sins of man in an eternal tomb of sand. Vultures circle in the sky, and you, my dear, are the reason why. Vultures circle in the sky. You
Go kiss the daylight goodbye. As the sun lays down to die and comes to end another day. As night falls on your desert grave.
In closing today, I wanted to thank Zach and Richard for joining me in the interview. Definitely check them out. Check out their movies. If you contact them, they'll definitely steer you towards finding their movie. So I'd like to thank them for joining me today. I apologize for this episode. I watched a bunch of movies that I fucking hated, and I think it kind of reflects in my reviews and just in general putting this podcast together this time around. I'm definitely going to review some movies that I like in the next episode. That way I'll kind of enjoy putting that episode together, because I didn't enjoy this at all. And it's because of the part 2 and fucking 3, especially part 3. Man, get a hold of me out there. Steer me towards some movies that you want to hear reviewed. Some actual good movies. Like I said, hit me up on Facebook, Horrorcore Bart on Facebook. You can find me there. Send me some emails, horrorcorebart@yahoo.com. Give me a call, 269-823-9037. Let me know what you think about the show. Send me some, or tell me some suggestions on movies to watch, to review. You guys have any questions you need answered about horror movies? Any kind of trivia? Hit me up, man. My brain's a fucking sponge when it comes to horror movies. There might be some movie that you saw a long time ago as a kid that you only remember one scene from it, but you cannot fucking remember the movie. You can't find it online. You can't find the answer to that question that's eating you up inside. Call me, leave a voicemail, shoot me an email. I guarantee I know what you need. I challenge anyone out there to some horror movie trivia. I'm the fucking man when it comes to that shit. Challenge me. Let's hear it. Let's see it. Come on, motherfuckers. All right, that's going to do it for the show. Thanks for listening. Tune in next time when I don't know what I'm going to review. I'm thinking either the Cube movies. I think there's two of those, maybe three. Or I might get into some Guillermo del Toro movies. Definitely been wanting to check some of his shit out. So, all right. Till then, keep it hardcore horror, motherfuckers.
From the